You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. To hear a little bit more about what's happening on the streets, I am talking now with CAP Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth.
Glad to have you here. Also with us is family nurse practitioner, Terry Zahneiser. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. Thanks
for having me. Why don't you explain what you do?
So I work with Ellica Healthcare, and we have a team of outreach where we go out, and we have two areas where we actually will drive to areas of encampments that we know exist, and we'll put on backpacks and walk through the encampments and try to meet any medical needs that the homeless may have.
You've been out and about as this has happened, Sammy. What's your observation about how this works for people living wherever they are and being met by healthcare workers?
Yeah, one thing I've really noticed, and I'm sure Terry can speak to this, is often you have to meet people where they're at because they may be worried just about basic survival, sleeping, eating. They may not even be thinking about their health needs. And even if they are, they may not be able to get transportation to a clinic or hospital. They likely have a pet that may not be permitted in some healthcare settings. So when I've been out with the backpack medicine teams, they're really going up to people's camps and saying, hey, you know, can we help you? You can keep your dog, you know, you can keep all your stuff. What can we do for you? And I think that mobile model, you know, is a big piece of the puzzle. And I did a story out at the mobile bus a year or two ago. That's one of Ellica's delivery mechanisms. They sort of pull up to places where a lot of homeless people gather, and they offer, you know, screenings and immunizations. And one thing I was really interested in is how women who are homeless get treatment. A lot of them have been sexually assaulted, and they may be at higher risk for STDs or even types of cancer. Many of them aren't getting routine screenings like mammograms. And I know that's something Ellica was really trying to encourage. So, you know, there's just, it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge in the emergency department, which is where some people end up when they're truly in crisis, either a physical illness or a mental illness, and they just sort of see the big H on the hospital and they go there. And emergency departments didn't used to know how to navigate that. I think they've gotten better. They've sort of put navigators in the ED to, you know, sort of work as caseworkers. So, you know, if you're homeless, you're being discharged. They don't want to necessarily just put you out. And there was some critique of the hospitals doing what's called patient dumping, which is sending people out without a place to go. So now there's a new law, and hospitals have to sort of set them out with a plan, with a meal and some clothing and a place to go, hopefully.
Terry, what are you typically doing? What's the most common service or treatment?
The most common service that we provide is family practice medicine. A lot of these citizens have a lot of chronic history, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, hepatitis, these types of things. So what I do is a mixture of family practice, emergency medicine, but more so towards urgent care. So we will meet and greet these people where they live. We'll chat with them. A lot of the folks know us out there because we're all painted up on our Suburban when we do the street medicine, as well as our large RV, which is our Health on Wheels, and we'll park at strategic areas that we know people are, and they can come to us, and we do provide services. We also have a veterinarian that comes out on Fridays to try to make that the connector for the homeless, as well as take care of their animals, because there are, in fact, a lot of animals out there. We also provide a lot of mental health care. My goal is to get people started. I try to read them when I'm talking to them and find out what are they willing to do. Because I can evaluate, I can diagnose, I can treat, I can prescribe electronically, and they all know where their pharmacy is, and we try to visit with them next week or depending on what the situation is for them.
Are you connected to city services or other agencies, or do you work quite independently just in that sort of point in time?
Boy, if we worked independently, we would fail. We work in partnership with everybody, and I consider everybody a partner, from the city, the county, the different healthcare facilities, the hospitals. So we work in partnership with everybody and anybody who would like to work with us to help these folks out.
Terry, can I get your read on what happens sometimes commonly this time of year? People have a pile of blankets or a meal or supplies, gloves, hats, that they think they want to give to people who they know are living outside or go to the river, go to a camp. What about that practice? There's a real mixed thought about whether that's wise or safe or helpful or kind. What's your take?
Right. You know, there's difference of opinion.
Right.
Just like our Democrats versus Republicans versus anybody else. And how do you want to help? My take on it is I want to help. I'm not going to cure homelessness, but I'm going to help them while they're there. And so what I do myself is I will bring out beanies, and I look for these items that I know they need. Beanies, they want to stay dry, they want to stay warm, they want to stay safe. So I'll bring out soup. We will bring out socks, beanies, whatever they need. If I know there's a particular person there and needs a pair of shoes, we'll find a pair of shoes. And we have a lot of partners out there who will do the same thing, just like the Mercy Peddlers out there on their bicycles and their hot chocolate and coffee and keeping people warm.
What's the safety advisory about making this kind of effort?
The safety advisory for the homeless, what I see is when they stay together and they're there a little bit longer, they get to know each other, they depend on each other, they watch each other's stuff while they go to their appointments. So I think there's safeties in numbers. And I'll see that a lot more up in this area of the north than I will see towards the south area of Sacramento, where it appears to be more fragmented and individualized and more at risk.
Does the same apply in terms of wanting to gift people for the holidays? If you're going to deliver goods or visit, that you should do that in numbers as well?
I would do that in numbers, and I would also do that in areas that it already exists. I wouldn't be out on the levees all by myself doing this. Because that is less secure for folks, especially folks that are not used to working with the homeless. But there's several areas and churches and loaves and fishes where I'll see people pull up and they will just hand out food and clothing.
All right, Sammy, we just have a little bit of time, but you did some reporting on this for your Great Questions series. Anything to add on people helping people who are homeless?
Yeah, I mean, Terry hit a lot of it. You know, in terms of the winter time, I think socks are a huge thing, keeping your feet dry, blankets, hats. I had some homeless folks tell me that food that needs to be, you know, prepped in any way is not helpful. You know, people get things like ramen bowls, but then they can't necessarily heat them up. So to give out power bars, to give out canned meats. And also I had homeless folks tell me, because I went up to them and I asked, you know, what do you need? Or if people want to help, what would you suggest they do? And a lot of them said, you know, just talk. Like, some people just want to talk. They just want to say, you know, ask me why I'm here. Ask me how I got to this place. And just to have a conversation can be huge from a mental health perspective.
Sometimes it's a case of being able to give, to donate in that way to an agency that's already doing the work. And in a moment, we're going to hear about Wellspring Women's Center. But I will say that with each segment of the show, we're going to post a list of resources, which can include food banks, and Elika's health van is something that might just show up and be there for help. But to know there is backpack medicine helping on the street might appeal to somebody who's interested in volunteering or being part of it. Is that an opportunity, Terry?
Right. Yes, there's always an opportunity at Elika, and I'm sure at some of the other medical areas where they can come and volunteer. They just need to give them a call and let them know they're interested in volunteering.
Okay.
And they'll get them started.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much
for joining us. That is nurse practitioner with Elika Health, Terry Zahneiser, and Sammy Kayola is CAP Radio's healthcare reporter. Thank you both very much.
Thanks so much.
This conversation will continue in a moment. You are listening to an hour of conversation about homelessness on CAP Radio.